Title of today's message, we've got two more messages out of 1 Peter. We've been preaching through Peter since 1st of January. Taking a brief hiatus, a couple of weeks out of it. But we've got two more messages in 1 Peter. And this one out of 1 Peter 5 today. Some lessons on leadership. Before I read passage, though, all kinds of stuff out there on leadership. It's amazing. The books, the multiplication of information about leadership. But you know, you can talk a lot about leadership. But it's kind of like insurance. You can talk a lot about it, but the test of it isn't when everything's going okay. The test of insurance is it going to pay off when I need it to pay off? The test of leadership is when times get tough, is it going to make a difference? That leadership. Now, what you're seeing in our country and in the world right now, you're seeing a lot of leadership that's fallen by the wayside. A lot. In fact, people portray themselves as great leaders. Great to call yourself a great leader, but who's following? And what are you leading them into? Where are you leading them? Now, all over the world right now, leadership is being tested. I'm here today to read this passage. And this passage is about leadership. It's specifically about leadership in the church, those who are called to be leaders in the church, the pastor. In fact, in this passage, you want to read that it has all three concepts about leadership in the church are all in this passage. Being a pastor, the word Greek word poimen, that pastoral root, shepherding. The root of an overseer is there. The word episkopos, being overseer. And the word for elder that's used in the scripture, which is the word presbyteros. All three of those concepts talking about the same person. The same in one. But it's given laying down principles about leadership. And there is an agrarian picture here of a shepherd. And I want you to see this. It's a picture of shepherding a flock. Now some have said that Jesus talked about leadership and he was just using what was available to him to show what leadership was like. That if he were saying today, he would talk about a leader being a CEO. No, he wouldn't. Because the picture of a leader here is one who is leading. Like a shepherd leads his sheep. He goes before them. What does a CEO do? He sends them before him. The shepherd is there to guard and direct, and to be on the front line. So you see, now some of you blooming theologues today, we can argue about this later on. But my belief is that this idea of shepherding and of calling the church the flock of God was not just an illustration of what was available for the day, but is a lasting principle from Scripture of who we're supposed to be. Now let me read the passage. We're 1-6. And now a word to you who are elders in the church. You're reading from the New Living today. By the way, those of you that are new with us, I'm liable each week to use a different translation. Okay? Do you know what the best translation is? Church, tell me what the best translation is. That's right, the one you'll read. So, you pick out the one you'll read and you bring it with you, okay? And there's a good shot that, you know, at least a Sunday out of six, we'll hit it. We'll have it, because we'll use New American Standard, we'll use New King James, New Century Version, New Living. Even a few weeks ago, used the RSV. Okay, here we go. And now word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And I too will share His glory and His honor when He returns. As a fellow elder, this is my appeal to you. Hear this from Peter, from his heart. Care for the flock of God that has been entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you can get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your good example. Seeing these leadership principles here? And when the head shepherd, who is that? When the head shepherd comes, your reward will be a never-ending share in His glory and honor. Younger men, accept the authority of the elders. And all of you serve each other in humility. For God sets Himself against the proud, but He shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and in His good time, He will honor you. I'm going to go on and read 7 too. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for Your word, clear and plain, asking You today, God, You would light up Your word for us. You would bring it to our hearts. We would know and experience the power of the Word of God in our lives. Holy Spirit, You're welcome here now. Come and move and apply and speak to us. Lord, the only reason I have the words of life is because I have You. And I ask You to speak through me today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. There's a few questions we need to ask here. First question. Are you a leader? Are you? Now, tell you what a lot of folks do. They give you the aw shucks, paw on the ground. I'm not a leader. I don't lead anybody. I'm not in that. That's a lie. Every one of us is leading somebody by example. We're preaching a sermon every day with our lives, what we do. Hey, here's a news flash. You know, some people are even that don't know you, those emails you forward out, they're measuring you and your life by the emails you send. I'm not talking about the number of them. I'm talking about what they're about. I found that out to be very true when I got on Facebook. Filled it out as single. Made a mistake. Looked at it in the next week. I made a change. I'm married. For 2 weeks I heard from people. Said, I'm glad you made an honest woman out of Miss Audrey. Because that was being emailed out to everyone. The power of the net. Are you a leader? Answer, Yes. See, God's not giving you the privilege of retiring from life and living life to the full. You don't have that privilege in His kingdom. He's given you the opportunity and the responsibility to live out your life, to live it out as a leader, all sorts of leaders. Don't you reckon that Billy Graham's mama was a pretty good leader? Don't you thank God for her? Next question. Was Peter a leader? God wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Was he a leader? You bet he was. Was he a good leader all the time? Man, he failed miserably at times. We can identify with him, can't we? Especially on the part where, you know, he's sinking in the water, you know, when he looks at the waves. Or the part when he denies Jesus three times a cockroach. You know, we get into all that. Or he gets dressed down by Paul about going up to Galatia with the Judaizers or whatever he was doing. You know, here's a guy who was real people. He really struggled. He was a leader. And there are other times, like in Matthew 16, where Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And he remember this? He says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Great words spoken by him. I mean, really affirmed by Jesus. All right. He was a leader. Number three, third question. Who picked Peter to lead? Thank you, Daniel. That's right. God picked him out. He picked him out. All right, fourth question. Who showed Peter how to be a leader? Not only was he picked by Jesus, but then Jesus, every day he was living with him, was showing him how to be a leader, walking with him everywhere they went. All right, let's go to the next point. John, I can't remember. I'm doing all this from memory. How many points are in this message? 8? Thank you. That communication. All right. First point. Leadership cannot be forced. I want you to look back at the passage with me if you have your Bible. Now, word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the suffering of Christ. Here's a word coming from Peter. He was not forcing this upon them. Can leadership be forced? Did he come to them and say, now you've got to listen to me because I'm Peter. I'm the big cheese. You've got to listen to every word I say. No. You can't force leadership on someone, can you? Because the first chance they get, what's going to happen? Those rats are going to jump off the ship. They're not going to be a part. It must be a voluntary thing. Leadership cannot be forced. You know, how is it that God comes with us with the opportunities for leadership? Does He write it in the sky? Does he send you a special message in a bottle on the beach? What does He do? Day in, day out. Here He is bringing us opportunities to exercise the leadership that He has given us in our lives. Number two. Leadership is caught more than it's taught. Here is Peter saying, look what he says. I too am an elder. I'm a leader in the church, just like you are. And he could have said, and I was a witness to the resurrection. But what does he say? I was witness to the, what does it say? Sufferings of Jesus. The sufferings of Christ. What he's letting them know by this, I believe, he struggled like they struggle. He knew about the suffering. You see, in the church, and we got all caught up in this in the church in America, in the Western church especially. When the time when the money's rolling in, I mean the economy is going great. If you're a stockbroker, you get your stocks, you put them all on the wall, you blindfold yourself and you throw a handful of darts, and everything a dart hits makes money. That's where we've been. Are we there now? No, sir. That's not where it's happening now, is it? You see, we got all caught up in us doing our thing. But you know, a new thing that has come in the world for the church, especially for the Western church that has begun, is a thing called suffering. Our brothers and sisters in other countries have been experiencing it. We're beginning to get a little taste. You know what I believe? Before Jesus comes back, according to the Scripture, we're all going to get a big taste of it, of what it's like. Now, what Peter is saying to them is, hey guys, he's not coming to them as the big kahuna. Here's the guy that was anointed by Jesus. Here's the guy who at the fish fry on after the resurrection on the banks there of the Sea of Galilee was asked those questions by Jesus. Peter, do you love me? They're not using all the, he's not using all those clippings. He's using the clippings here of a guy who could identify with life, where they live life, where the failures were. I want you to know today that's the kind of Jesus that we serve. He identifies with us where we are, with what's going on with our lives. We can live this plastic kind of life that, oh, everything's okay, you know, happy all the time. That kind of that's not the way you live at home, is it? When the face comes off, who are you in the dark? Who are you? Peter's letting them know, not only was he a witness of the sufferings of Christ, I too will share in the glory and his honor when we return. Do you see this? Is he sandwiching these statements? The suffering of Jesus. I'm looking forward. I have hope. We sang it a while ago. I have hope of what Jesus can do in a person's life. Now that kind of lifestyle is caught more than it's taught. Isn't it? Oh, you can have the little seminars and draw it all out for everybody. But you know what what people are looking at? They're looking more at your feet, aren't they? They're looking at the example of your life. Number three. Leader must begin with the right motive. What does he say here? Care for the flock entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you can get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. Is your motive as a leader important? As a leader in your home, as a parent, as a mother or a dad in your home, is your motive important with your children? You know why it's important? Because they can see right through you. And they know what your motive is, don't they? They can see that. They can feel that. God's called us to a greater calling, a motive that is higher than the world's, a motive that can't be bought or sold, a motive that is all about serving Christ, as he says here, but because you're eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned. Not using cruel advantage over people. Number four. You believe this? People watch you more than they listen to you? Watching what you do? How you live things out? When I was a child, every single morning, we'd get up. I could smell bacon frying right now. We'd have bacon and eggs. My daddy'd be getting ready to go to work. We'd be having breakfast as a family. I remember what his boots looked like. He's pulling them on each day. I watched what he did. I don't remember what he said very much about that time of the morning each day. But I remember watching him put on his boots. And you know how I remember his boots so well? Dad, you remember that. Sometime I'd stuff things in the end of his boots. And when he's half asleep trying to jerk those boots on in the morning, I say, man, these things don't fit. I want to let you know, people are watching you. They watch what you do. Your neighbors are watching you. They're watching how you come and go. I heard some of my neighbors yesterday talking rather firmly to one another. Y'all never do that in your backyard, do you? They were speaking to each other forcefully. I don't need your help. Don't tell me what to do. And the reason why that identifies with me so much is I've said the same thing. I've done it. People are watching you. They're watching you because out of your life, what you do shows your heart. I'm fine. Proper leadership can be very rewarding. What does he say here? We will share in his glory and honor when he returns. Verse 4, going to verse 4. And when the head shepherd, Jesus, comes, your reward will be a never-ending share in his glory and honor. Now think about a person who decides he's going to be the kind of leader in his life with people in his life that will be an honor to Jesus. What you invest in today has eternal rewards. Moth and rust don't corrupt it. Remember listening to a friend of mine a couple of years ago telling me his retirement plan, how he was going to retire and all this money he was going to make. And he said basically, you know, he was just going to be able to sit down and just watch it come in. Wait a second. Something happened. What happened? The 401k. It's not producing anymore. You know what? He isn't retired. He was trusting in something that could not provide for him. Now, every day, I'm not saying don't save, I'm not saying don't invest in things, all those things. But at last, all that can change overnight. The economy can change. The government can change. And what are you going to be left with then? You know, the leadership that we exercise, of Jesus' leadership in our lives with others, is very rewarding because it has eternal consequences. Number 6. He finally is getting to the root of it here. The foundation of leadership is humility. Wait a second, Pastor. You have, well, what are you talking about? Are you an idiot? Leadership and humility? Being humble? Humility's got something to do with leadership? I thought leadership was all about arrogance and about lording it over people and about being in charge. You know, there are some people that have been in charge of things around, but they haven't got much left to be in charge of right now. Some of them are in charge of some things, and they're looking at life through the Martha syndrome. You know, they're looking through bars. These guys that had all the answers, had all the money, some of them are in jail today. Humility. What does the scripture say here? All of you serve each other in humility. The Bible says God sets himself against the proud. We have honored this kind of pride in the West that is an infectious, cancerous disease. It is arrogance. God resists that. What does that mean? It means when pride is there, God pushes away. Let me ask you, do you want God pushing away from you? Anybody? Do you want him away? It's kind of like this fellow said, well, I just want to do it on my own. Well, let me see. What do you got right now? The body you got, God gave you that. You can get rid of that. The brain you got, yeah, God gave you that. Everything you have and hold, anything you put in your hand, God gave you that. The air that's out there, God gave you that. So what do you have left? A big old Omicron. Zip, zero, nada, nothing. Foundational leadership is humility. First, a person must humble himself. Humble himself before God and before others. Jesus said, let him who is greatest among you be your servant. Servant. Number seven. Boy, this is a tough one. Till a person learns submission, he cannot lead. Younger men, it says, accept the authority of the elders. And then it says to all of you, serve one another in humility. And by the way, let's go back as we talk about submission. Just for you men today, ladies, I'm not going to charge anything extra for this today. This is a free one for you today. But that Ephesians 5:22, where it says, For wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. You know what it says in 5:21? As Christians, submit to one another. So before you can even get to a relationship of husband and wife, you've got to submit yourselves to each other. And before you get to that 5:21, you've got 5:18, which says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it starts with God. He's getting to the foundation here. Till a person learns submission, he cannot lead. You've got to be submitted to God and submitted to others. And know that your motive is to bring out the best in them. I've been a baseball coach for a few years. Little midgets and little league, now pony league. It's interesting to watch a lot of people out with the kids' sports teams. It's a lesson in life. Because what you see a lot of time are coaches that it's all about them and not about those kids. You see, you've got to be willing to submit yourself. Put your own agenda aside if you're going to serve Jesus. Last point. And in the end, who is it that decides how effective that you've been? Listen to this. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, And in His time, His good time, He will honor you. When's that going to be? We want to do the good deed today and have God say, attaboy. But that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says in His good time, He'll bring that. And sometime, I believe that might be in eternity. It's God who decides how effective you'll be. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you. The greatest message of leadership shown to us by our Lord Jesus, who laid down His life in our place. Let me ask you, could this country use a strong dose of that kind of leadership right now? Willing to lay down your life? Could Savannah use that right now? Could this church use that right now? Could your home use that right now? Could you use that right now? Because see, what happens? When we humble ourselves, what does that do for God? It attracts Him. He's like a magnet to that. Because what has happened, we've opened ourselves. When you humble yourself, you open yourself for God to come. For Him to come in His power. For His Holy Spirit to come and to baptize you anew in Himself and in His power and in what He wants to do in His life. Then we are usable to the Lord. If we want to see this neighborhood reached, if we want to see Savannah reached, this country turned around, we who know the Lord must begin in leadership to humble ourselves and lead by that example. I call on you today as I lead you in prayer. Number one, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I realize today's message has been directly at those who have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want you to know today, if you've never received Him as Lord and Savior, Jesus died in your place on the cross. He was buried. He arose on the third day. And He will come into your life today if you by faith will trust Him. And you turn from your way of doing things and turn to Him. He will come into your life and make you a new person. That is the Jesus that we preach today, who changes lives. For you who are believers today, this altar is open. There will be people around who will pray with you. You may want to come and pray by yourself. This is your time to come and humble yourself before God. And in this act of humbling ourselves, to attract the presence of God Himself. Don't you want to be attracted? Lord, we thank You for Your presence and Your power. Thank You for moving in our lives today. Holy Spirit of God, right now we give You authority. We submit to Your authority in our lives. And in this time, come now, come and move in us. We bless You and we thank You. We open the altar now. Lord, I'm praying for people today who've never received Christ. I'm praying for us as a body that we will humble ourselves and submit ourselves to You and Your agenda in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Our pastors will take their places. Our life group leaders, if you would, to take your places on down the side so people can come and pray with you. The altar is open. This is your time with the Lord.